B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Beautiful thing about that is that I started off as a fanatic. And I started off as a fan. I've been invested in this organization since I was a kid, you know. And also now that I'm in this role as a player, there is quite a difference. And, you know, the fans out there, want to apologize to them as well. You know, my commitment has always been to bringing something special to Brooklyn. You know, it wasn't just a championship. It was unity, it was equality. It was just bigger things than just the game itself. You know, it took quite a while and quite a few valleys to get back home initially, you know. So for me, I'm just taking every day, you know, just being grateful, you know. But for the casual or the fanatic, you know, it's part of our culture. And, you know, I'm back. I'm happy to be back. And we got some great pieces. And we just move on. And I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing, you know. Just needed a pause.
Oh, what a pain in the ass this guy is. Imagine having him on your team and dealing with this nonsense for a guy who's this good. Oh, wait, we did that.
Yeah.
Here in Boston. All right, Kyrie, will you just stay this time? That would be my thing to him. Just stay. Will you just stay and do your job? Can we count on you for that?
Just come to
work.
Talking.
Just come to work every day.
Stop thinking.
No, talk all you want. Just come to work. Just don't pull this crap where you go home for days on end. You know how much money he lost doing this? $800,000 in salary and $50,000 in fines for the stupid birthday party he went to.
How many games into the year?
It only cost him $850K to go home for a week or a couple of weeks now.
So now it's Dennis Rodman. He needs these type of breaks to get away from the game.
I guess. Here's what the problem is. When he's there and he's engaged, if that's what he plans on doing, that team is going to be ridiculous. It is. That's a team that is going to truly contend. How's James Harden look, by the way, fellas? Did I call that or what?
What happened there? In all honesty, what happened?
Did I call that?
I don't know. Did you call it?
Nobody gets in shape that quick. I'm
called
sorry.
It. I said, it'll take no more than 3 weeks. It took 3 days. Triple-double in his first game there. Looks like
he's intentionally trying to wear the wrong shirts and tuck them in and the wrong color and try to blow myself up, and then I'm going to look great in 3 days. That doesn't make any sense.
It's just baby blue. It's not his color.
It's just bad color, bad angle.
Bad color.
He looks great.
I agree with that.
He looks great. He's ready to go. So he's ready to go. Durant has always been ready to go. He's just been, you know, he's had his injury stuff he's dealt with over the last couple of years. I don't think you have to worry about this nonsense with Durant. So you've got Durant and you've got Harden, who looks to be engaged again and looks to be trim and ready to go. And now Kyrie wants to play basketball again. That could change, which could blow the entire thing up. But as long as he wants to play basketball, they're in good shape. That's going to be a very tough team. Very tough out. Say what you want about how Harden's a loser and Kyrie's an idiot. Well, okay. Fine. But if they actually do want
better than you.
If they want to show up and play, they are far better than the Boston Celtics.
They are better than you. Oh, yeah. That team's got scores, boy. Whew.
Kyrie on Harden. Let's see if we can read between the lines or read into his tone on responding to the James Harden acquisition.
This team looks different since the last time you were out there on the floor. First, just your reaction to the deal and what the energy is like as you try to put everything together as a group.
Very excited, you know, just to have James here. Obviously, letting go of some of the pieces that have been here in the Nets organization for a while, even before I got here. You know, it was going to be hard regardless. It's just the nature of the business. We're all brothers still, you know. So we're just moving on into the next phase of just developing as a team and just building some camaraderie and having fun.
Camaraderie and having fun.
Camaraderie and fun. How about winning? Was winning going to be in there at any point? Was he going to say we want to win a lot of games?
Well, you want to dismiss him. I still want to dismiss him as having like some kind of, you know, screw loose, and he doesn't quite. But he sounds totally coherent. He doesn't sound like anybody who's, you know, just got back from the puzzle factory. He sounds fine. You know, I
mean, he's always sounded fine. He's just, there's like a.
No, he doesn't sound fine when he's talking about flat earth conspiracies.
Well, that's different. I
mean, he doesn't sound fine all the time. He sounds fine now.
Well, he had a comment in there about how he wanted to, you know, do big things for Brooklyn and win for Brooklyn and blah, blah, blah. And I just like, I don't know if I believe him. Like, what's he? I don't know what this guy's motivations are. Does anyone understand this guy? Does anyone understand him? Can you just please show up and play basketball? Because we might have the most talented roster in the NBA. They do. With those three guys, they have the most talent on a roster in the league.
Yeah. It's like Golden State.
So you say they're better than the Celtics. They already were better than the Celtics before they made their trade. They were better than the Celtics before they got James Harden. Now they're much better than that. There's an argument. If they put their crap together and Kyrie wants to show up and commit himself to doing his job, then I think they're really going to have something there. I do. But who knows? Like, I don't. Can you predict if Kyrie Irving finishes the season? Can you predict that Kyrie Irving will still be on the team in 2 weeks? And by on the team, I mean showing up to work every day.
I would think so. Look, how many of these lapses are you going to have, really? To where you just say, you know, we're done with this. We're not doing this.
They can't trade him, even if they tried right now, which is remarkable.
That's
because
what I hate about this league.
To be as good as he is and have little to no trade value, and there's a report that the Rockets wanted to not even discuss the possibility of Kyrie Irving going back there in a deal. They had zero interest. None. Can you imagine being that good at what you do and nobody wanting you? Like, when he wants to play, he can play. He is off the charts when it comes to talent. He's got all the talent in the world. But it's all about his head. And who knows where that's going to go? He needed a pause, though. And he also talked about things in the world impacting him, other things that are going on. You know, his various things that impact his thinking. They just need to take a pause, and sometimes you need to take a pause.
Just a separation between what's going on here, you know, when I'm playing professionally, and what's going on out in the world. And if you don't create that distinction, then it's easy to feel the weight of the world while you're going out there and playing. So, you know, I would be lying sitting here and saying I don't feel what's going on in the world, and nor am I paying attention to it. You know, I just have a huge responsibility, I feel, to continue to serve my community and underserved. And, you know, when I'm out here playing, it's continuing to leave knowledge with these guys and commit to something, like I always say, bigger than ourselves. You know, this team environment here, or just in basketball in general, it takes sacrifice and compromise. You know, we got to come to an agreement and just stay in balance throughout this long journey. So that's all I'm trying to do.
He's so full of crap.
See, the problem is you're a basketball player.
Yeah, those are all really nice things and good things to be involved in, and you want to set an example, and you want to do something beyond being a basketball player.
Showing up and being a basketball player.
He is obsessed, though. He is obsessed with telling you, though, that he is impacted by it more than anyone else. Do you see any other NBA players or any other athletes quitting their jobs for days and weeks on end without talking to their teams? Because of all those other things that he wants to be involved in. And that's great. Those are all good things. He could have a positive impact on the world. I believe he probably already has with various charities and causes that he's involved in. I'm sure he has. Is there a reason why he can't show up and do his job in addition to those things? Is there a reason? Is there not enough hours in the day for Kyrie Irving?
No, he's got enough time. And he wasn't off doing all that stuff.
Nonsense.
Well, he's going to birthday parties. He didn't take this time off to go focus in on the social issues or his foundation or anything else. He was at a birthday party.
Yeah, celebrate a birthday. I mean, birthdays are big.
The city hall meeting, right?
The city hall meeting. Yes,
a Zoom meeting.
That's important.
For a political candidate for, I think, district attorney.
That's
for Manhattan. Yes,
yeah, that's
great. That's fine. Good for you. You want to be politically active. You want to be great. Do all those things. No one's telling you can't do all those things. But he can't tell you how he's involved in all those things and have you know as much about what he's doing if he's not also quitting basketball for weeks on end, right? If he's just another guy who also does other things with his life, well, that's you may not be as in tune with what it is he's doing. But when you quit for weeks on end and cause that distraction, now we all know what Kyrie's doing. Because if Kyrie was showing up to his job every day, would people have paid as close attention to him being on a Zoom call as they did? No. No, they wouldn't. Because it'd be, oh, that's cool. Kyrie Irving is supporting a political candidate. He's involved in something, some sort of cause or whatever it is he wants to be involved. Oh, that's interesting. No, but it can't just be that with this guy. It has to be, no, I'm such a deep thinker. And I'm so much more impacted by it than any other player in the NBA that I've had to take a pause and step back and quit my job for weeks on end and be an irresponsible adult. I couldn't even be an adult. I couldn't function. I had to shut it down.
No.
Shut it down. You know what, guys? I can't believe I shouldn't have come to work today. I think we should all do things like, I think we should all quit our jobs for weeks on end and go do something.
Well, I tried that.
Maybe get involved in a charity or support a political candidate.
Jim did too.
You know? Zoe had a nice little vacation.
Shut up, Tom.
COVIDcation.
Like, who's that in there answering phones with you? Is that Jim?
It's Jim Lowe.
Wow, look at Jim.
Yeah, I just spoke on back. The air, Zoe, to you.
He did.
What?
Over his head. Over his head. Guys, I don't know. Brad Stevens is going to be on the line next. I might have something to go do. I might go do a charity thing or some sort of initiative I wanted to get involved in.
Yeah.
Then you'll really know what I'm doing. Then you'll really know. Then you'll have to pay attention to what I'm more than just a talk show host, just so you know. Okay, I do a lot of other big, big things.
Well, you used to do that. You used to do the Beatle karaoke stuff. You would still show up to work, but you would just do it while you were on the air.
Sometimes.
Well, how come this donation isn't here yet? 617-779-0985. Call in about anything you want. This guy said he was going to give me a signed jersey by now. Send.
Nice.
But at least you showed up when you were doing all that.
I did show up. I was doing two things at once, but I made it to work every day.
The caterers are playing hardball again.
I said three cookie platters. Send.
Send.
Who's that kid Jared that ate all that cheese from the fountain?
I don't know.
What is the reference?
I don't know.
Jared, he ate all the cheese, man. Cinder ate all that cheese.
Oh, I know who he's talking about.
He wouldn't stop eating. He's eating cheese. How you doing? Good.
Yeah, he's high as a kite. Let's get to Brad Stevens. He'll join us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Beautiful thing about that is that I started.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. It's 11:20 on this Wednesday. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Morning, coach. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. I actually had the virus here for the last couple of weeks, and you guys and the situation you're in, and I heard you speak last week that basketball is the furthest thing from your mind. It's more important about the health of your team. How's the team feeling? And I sit there and I hear guys like Robert Williams talk about the bed sweats, and I went through all that, and it's an interesting virus, to tell you to say the least. But how's your team feeling right now?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you're back. I didn't realize that. Obviously, as you know, probably better than anybody, better than I could explain, there is that, we all just read stories about who has it, right? But when it hits you, or when it hits somebody close to you, your impression of everything changes, right? And that's why we're taking all these precautions and all these things to try to be as safe as possible while still being able to play. And there are some challenges with that. Our guys, Rob went through his first workout the other day, and it was pretty quick. Yesterday was excited to be back at practice and looked a little bit more like himself. And then, but he won't be asked to play a ton of minutes after being inactive for 14 days and dealing with that and trying to come back. There's always that, we're making sure we take every precaution with regard to coming back safely, just from a physiological standpoint. Sure. So there are, there's without question, appropriate levels of angst and concern. Each time we hear a story like this, when a guy gets sick, put a lot of faith and trust in, our medical community and medical team with the Celtics and medical team in the NBA.
So Zoe has accused all of us here on the show of treating him like he has a scarlet letter, which I would say is wholly accurate because we don't want to be anywhere near him. What happens when you have a large group of people that are always with each other and you're worried about spread, the situation you've sort of been in now for a few weeks? How does that look different from what you've already been doing to take all the different precautions you've already done?
Well, first of all, I think, obviously the staff, we have to wear masks and go through all the testing protocols just like everybody else. But we wear our masks all the time, whether it's in the game, whether it's in practice, whether it's walking through, walking by somebody, on our way to our office. It's always masked. That's a mandatory thing. Now, here we get on the road and we're not allowed to go outside. We're not allowed to leave the hotel. We're not allowed to go for a walk, any of that. I was saying earlier, I'm glad we're not in Miami or L.A. right now, and we're in 30-degree Philly, and it's snowing a little bit, right? Because otherwise it would be really maddening. And those are things that obviously we're being extra conservative, extra cautious, and at the same time, our challenges as well. With regard to, it spreading across your team or the threat of that, the other thing now guys are being really leery of is, how close they sit next to somebody for how long, right? Because just like guys that get it, we've had several players and coaches in contact tracing that were just they had spent too much time in close proximity, oftentimes despite being masked, with that person that was ultimately infected. So now you're like, you're trying to operate as a team and be a team. You're not allowed to eat together. You literally are having conversations and looking at your watch like, is that 5 minutes yet? And making sure that you're both staring forward. It's a pretty unique way to build relationships and teams.
Yeah, everything about this time has been awkward and strange. So that is
no
in
doubt.
Line. That's in line with everything else that's been going on. What's the timeline for Jason Tatum to be back?
Jason had his first he was able to go and do his testing and everything else, is all the physiological testing that you have to do yesterday. So he'll be able to be on the court in Boston a little bit today. And I don't know what that means, over the next couple of days. I think that there would be a chance that he would join us for Friday, but then there's also, I would say at best that's 50-50. And then, you know, you got to, again, just like Rob, it's not going to be, you know, he hasn't done anything for 2 weeks other than, you know, and we're not allowed to have him do anything. And he's not supposed to do anything, you know, active. So you have to ramp him back up in some ways. I don't think it's, you know, it's prudent to play a guy, you know, several games in a row for 35 minutes a game if he's been inactive for a couple weeks.
Yeah, Coach, we haven't talked to you in a while. I haven't talked to you in a while, but you don't live under a rock. I know you're getting ready to play, you know, Philadelphia, but are you shocked a guy like James Harden is in Brooklyn? You know, when
nothing shocks me in the NBA anymore. The NBA, you know, it's like we can play a finals game on June 17th. It can be the most exciting game ever. And then 2 weeks later, that can all be drowned out by rumors and buzz and trades and free agent signings and everything else. I've learned that the NBA is fantastic for a lot of reasons, but the, you know, the people keeping people on the edge of their seats, I think, is part of it. And, you know, the personnel movement across the league, they're really, I thought they were, and I said this a couple days ago, I thought they were the best team we had played in the first 12 games. And that was before the trade. You know, I thought that they had a great way about them. Obviously, we all know here what Kyrie's capable of. I think Durant looks like he's an MVP candidate. And then you add Harden, who is, you know, he's super special. So, obviously, they're very, very good. But we're just trying to figure out how to be, you know, better ourselves. I think we're lucky to be in the position we're in record-wise. I think we're more, you know, our statistics and kind of how we've played to me suggest we're more of a 500 team than we are an 8-4 team. So we've got to really improve on both sides of the ball to get to where, you know, get to the point where we can really compete with the best of the best.
I think most people that watched Sunday's game were pleased with how Kemba Walker looked coming back off the injury. And I know you've told us before it's important to sort of wait and see how a player responds in the day or two after playing. How is he doing, and are you pleased with where he's at right now?
He's doing great. He's doing great. He had a great practice yesterday. I thought he was moving well, like you suggested. I thought he looked a little rusty, as anybody would at that time, having taken that time off and, you know, not really even being able to practice. But as far as, like, physically moving, you know, flying around, you know, I thought he looked really good. And we thought he would. You know, I think that there was, you know, there's been a lot of discussion, and I've been asked a lot about, well, will he come back fully healthy? He needed time. He needed an off season, and we didn't get an off season. And so when he decided to have the procedure done in October, you know, there was still thought at that time that the season was going to start this week. And it would have been perfect timing wise from the standpoint of him being ready to start the season and play normal, but it did not make sense to rush him after that. And it would have been a very short-sighted thing to do. And I'm glad that he took his time. I'm glad he worked really hard in the weight room. I'm glad that our strength and training staff came up with a great plan. And, you know, he should be full steam ahead as we continue to increase his minutes, which is really, you know, it's encouraging because, like I said, I just think we, like, to compete with these teams that we ultimately are going to have to compete with, including the team tonight, like, we need Kemba Walker to be Kemba Walker.
I'm guessing you're not surprised by the 76ers' good start, given their roster, given who they've got. Their guards have played well. I think you may have mentioned that the other day. This is a good team. Yeah. They're not going anywhere.
And you know what? They've been a good team for a while now, and they've started like this for a while now. You know, I think that even you go back these last couple years, and I think sometimes, you know, obviously everybody's going to react to whatever happens in the postseason and forget kind of how they've gotten to where they were. But they go on the run 3 years ago. We end up playing them in the playoffs, and we just had a lot of matchups that we could go to in that series. And then 2 years ago, they were a bounce away from being a team that could have won it all. And then last year, you know, we played them in the playoffs, but it was without, you know, one of their best players and certainly one of the league's great defenders and one of the league's best transition players. And so you know, it's all been, I think the way that they've necessarily been perceived or talked about has probably not been as accurate as how really good they've been over the last few years. Now they're just picking up where they left off. They've added some pieces around those two special young players. And, you know, those guys are all really capable. They've done a good job. And, you know, obviously Doc's a great coach. And so this will be like it always is when you come to Philly. You know, it's a really difficult game.
All right, Coach, good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys.
All right, good luck.
Take care. Brad Stevens with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Burt Breer of the MMQB will join us on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleep on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who was always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We got Burt Breer of the MMQB with us. I cannot see him at this moment, but I believe he is connected. Hi, Burt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, I see you up there. Okay, I got you.
You got me?
Yeah, I see you in the little screen. How's it going, Burt?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Good. I do need to provide our listeners with an update. We were going to start with you today, talking a little bit about Tom Brady, and this does tie right into it. Mm-hmm. That would be the comment that was made by Linda Holiday to Kathy Pellett, friend of the Felger Maz show, in which she said, comment from Kathy Pellett, too bad Bill let Tom go. We covered this to start the show today.
Wait, she said that?
Oh, Bert's not even up to speed.
Oh, boy. I didn't see that. No,
dear Bert.
Sorry.
Right, on social media, Bert.
Let's get Bert up to speed so we can get his reaction to it.
Okay.
I'll give you the 1 minute version. And that is, there was a New Year's post reflecting on 2020 and celebrating the new year from Linda Holiday, longtime girlfriend of Bill Belichick. 3 weeks ago, that post was put up. Within the last 2 days, someone by the name of Kathy Pellett, who called Felger Maz yesterday, commented on this post, too bad Bill let Tom go. Linda Holiday, longtime girlfriend of Bill Belichick, responded with, and you have all the answers, evidently? Tom didn't score last night, not once. Defense won the game. Were you even watching? On the other hand, I'm happy for Tom's career. Why can't you be?
Wow.
That's from Linda Holiday, Monday.
Some analysis there, too, huh?
Right?
Like and some analysis of the Buccaneers roster there?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom didn't get in the end zone, did he?
I guess not. She didn't. She missed that, which I suggested earlier. Maybe it's because they're watching Baghdad Bill State TV inside the home where they're not allowed to watch Brady's games. So
it's like OAN for football.
There's now been. So, and I'm not going there today. I'm not going there, Bert. I'm not doing it with you. There's that. And now, since that point, people have been scouring and looking and examining Linda Holiday's social media accounts. I told you earlier, Hardy, that she shut down her Twitter account.
Lots of internet sleuths.
People started looking at her likes and tweets she had liked, including one that said, screw
There's
Brady.
There's always trouble in there.
Screw Brady and Gronk. Go Patriots. Mm-hmm. Bill will lead the Pats out of this, and Gronk will get hurt. She liked that tweet.
Oh, God.
I like that.
She liked a Skip Bayless tweet from January of last year that said, how has Belichick gotten away with letting his 32-year-old son Steve call defensive signals this season? Brady is probably also wondering about that. And that was when Brady was still here and the season was still happening last year. For some reason, she had bookmarked that one, maybe to go back and blah, later on. All right, yeah. Maybe that was part of the liking. So people have started doing things like that. And now it has led to this Instagram statement that has just popped here in the last, I don't know, half hour. Linda Holiday on Instagram with a statement that says, "My account will be going private in the next few hours. I am exhausted by the number of trolls and cruel people who have hammered my social media accounts recently. I'm not embarrassed by anything I've said. In fact, several news outlets understood what I meant about defensive touchdowns and validated it.
But, which ones?
But I am tired of trolls. I'm not sure when it became okay to verbally abuse and harass people on social media." Has she ever used social media? I mean, what it is. She says, "I look forward to staying connected with my personal friends." Oh, so she doesn't want to be a brand anymore on Instagram. She just wants to have like an account with just her friends.
I mean, like, this is like that kind of like, and that ship has sailed. I look, that's sort of like, it felt to me like she sort of wants it both ways then, right? Because she's leveraged the hell out of her relationship with Bill, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Like, with the stuff on TV she's done. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. I mean, more power to you if you want to do that. You know, she had her personal goals and everything else. But, I mean, to then complain when the door swings back around on you, like, that's the way it works. Like, if you're somebody, like, we've all experienced
and
it, right?
Bert,
sure.
None of us have experienced that. But, Bert, none of these dominoes fall if she doesn't comment back and take the bait from a Patriots fan who's pissed about Tom Brady not being here. If that comment doesn't happen yesterday, are people sleuthing on the account? Are people looking for any crumbs that they can get?
There were a lot of crumbs, it sounds
apparently,
like.
Apparently, but none of this happens.
There's a whole deal there.
Like, if you just ignore it, but she couldn't ignore it, which leads to the, what's going on in that house over there? What's going on? Everybody there getting a little sensitive about Brady's success last weekend in that game? Obviously, that game with all the defensive touchdowns, we're rewriting the history of the game.
Well, don't take
it. Well, I mean, but it's only fair to do, like, so guys, you know this, like, a lot of us have talked to Tom Brady's dad in the past, right? Like, and Tom Sr. is an awesome guy. But like, you know, there were times when he would say stuff that you knew Tom couldn't say, right? And so we would always sort of take that. Like, there was a lot of times where this would happen with Tom, right? Like, where people would look at something Tom's dad said, and Tom's dad would say it independent of what, you know, any conversation maybe he had with his kid. He's just trying to stick up for his kid. And then people would take it and say, well, this is the way Brady thinks.
But there's also like there's that plausible deniability.
Right,
for the player.
Right.
I didn't say that. My dad did. So, it's my dad.
There's sensitivity on both sides too.
But like, here's the thing. It's like Brady's been living in that. Brady's lived that for 20 years, right? Like that's been Brady's reality for 20 years. This happens once with Belichick. And now all of us, I mean, it's sorry, this is what your quarterback, like, this is exactly like, this is what your quarterback's been navigating forever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of like, it's weird to me because like,
it's definitely history, man. There's no doubt about it. Like I'm friends with all the Bradys on Facebook.
Right.
And his sister Nancy the other night after the game, and she's like, "Thank God my husband took my phone because God knows what I would do to the Boston sports media right now."
Right.
As far as radio shows, I'm like, where'd that come from?
Why?
Like, they've done nothing but I think been pro Brady. Like, everything's
what's she talking about?
Right.
She's like, thank God my husband took my phone. Or else she's gonna like light up the Boston media. Like,
what?
I don't know. There's a sensitivity on both sides. This isn't just Patriots. This is the way
you'd want like
weird
your loved ones to react, right? Like, this is the way like I have no problem with like people's loved ones sticking up for him. This is like, that's natural, no question.
This is like Patrick Mahomes' mom this week.
That's fine, you know,
like,
right? Like, it's natural, take it with a grain of salt, right? It's natural that you would react that way, but this is sort of the part of the price of fame, you know, is that like if one of your loved ones says something, then people are immediately going to think, okay. Like, well, that's what he or she really thinks. And this is just coming out through somebody else. But this is the discussion that was happening in that house. This isn't Bill's first rodeo. And Linda's been around for a long time. She has to know this. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, like, the kicked puppy act here, just like you, she knows better than this, right?
She should, yeah. I mean, she's done a good job on her social media, like promoting foundation and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she can't, and especially with him, and when you live with him, you got to know that he's telling her, like, don't engage with people on social media. Yeah. Do whatever you want. Send whatever pictures you want, or the dog, or, you know, have fun with the dog, but just don't engage these, you know, the Brady stuff. Just don't go down that aisle. And, yeah. Hey, I said it earlier, too, Bert. I like women defending their men. You know, Giselle did it. He can't throw the ball.
I have no problem with it. I have no issue with that part of it at all. I think the problem is, it's like when you're all of a sudden like pointing the finger at everybody else, like everybody else is a problem. Like, you should know this was going to happen if you did this stuff. Like,
see, Tom, yeah. And Tom does, you know, such a good job.
Don't act like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. Tom never gets it in it with people. And it's always somebody else that always has to defend that person. You know, like, and Bill's not going to engage in this stuff. So Linda's probably just sitting there getting tired of hearing it. She's like, you know what? He's not saying it. I'm going to say the damn thing. You know, and it ends up putting those guys in a tough spot. Because I think Bill's better than that, and Tom's better than that.
So I guess Brady scoring off the turnover, Hardy, like, because he had touchdowns that came on shorter fields because of turnovers, he doesn't get credit now? Is that how she's writing this history?
Is that
how we're supposed to interpret it?
Well, that's how I'm interpreting her saying that, you know, other media outlets have come to her defense and her assessment of the game. That, you know, due to field position, Brady was able to score those touchdowns.
So that means Tom Brady's in a better situation now than he was in last year, right? Who's that on?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Oh, there's many ways to spin this right back onto Bill Belichick. We have no shortage of routes to do that.
I mean, like, look, here's the way I look at it. If you want to look at Brady's value, let's look at Brady's value. That franchise had not been to the playoffs, right? I'm not saying win a playoff game. They had not been into the playoffs since 2007. They had not won a playoff game since 2002. That Super Bowl that they won against the Raiders, that was their last playoff win. Like, if you can't see
the time they won it with the coach who knew the entire playbook of the team because he was just with them the year before, that guy.
That happened. That was like Drew Bledsoe's first year in Buffalo. Like, that's how long ago that was.
Yeah.
So like to act as if like Brady hasn't completely changed everything down there. And yeah, I know he's got a good team around him. No one's denying that. He's got good receivers. That defense is playing well. The coaching staff's done a good job navigating a really, really thorny regular season. So like, no one's denying that he's got a good situation there, but like, to act as if he didn't change everything again, that team had not been to the playoffs in 13 years. And if you want to look like at the game by game stuff, he brought them back from 2 17-point deficits. That they hadn't had a comeback from 1 17-point deficit in 9 years. So the belief, the hope, the ability to perform in big spots that he brought to that place, like, I don't know, like, at this point, how anybody could take that away from him is beyond me.
Yeah, I mean, the big one to me too, like, he's impacting defensive players. Like that Smith kid, 45, he's all over the freaking field. And he just said, you know, something just clicks. You sit there like, wow, we're close. Like, I don't think they ever believed like they could be that close and get into it. And Brady's got them believing. And
I think you're talking about Devin White, who, like,
I'm sorry, White.
He's a second year player
he's everywhere.
All of a sudden it looks like something's been unlocked with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I can tell you, I remember saying this to you guys in August, like when I was at their camp, like, that was Brady's operation. Like, the whole thing. Like, you could tell the way that it was run. Like, I had heard stuff like the receivers, like all those receivers that were with him in the spring at that high school, right? You guys remember the helicopter shots and everything? All those guys were doing the TP12 method. And I guess, like, through the first 3 or 4 weeks of camp, the guys who participated in those camps, in those mini camps at that high school, had zero soft tissue injuries, which is insane for training camp, right? So. Yeah. Like, that whole operation has sort of become Brady's operation. And
it's like Mike Evans last week. He's a DB. Yeah. That's how he got ready to play last week.
All right, let's talk more with Burt Breer from the MMQB. He's with us for an hour. We're one segment in, and we've got a hot take from Colin Coward that I don't know if you heard that one. I know you're a little behind on things today, Burt, but we'll get that.
I'm just trying to get my job done here, Beetle.
We'll play that for you and get your response to it coming up next.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports Radio, has a opinion, some speculation on the future of Bill Belichick. Bert Breer is with us from the MMQB. Bert, here is what Colin Cowherd had to say yesterday about Bill.
So I see a story, Josh McDaniels, prime candidate for the Eagles job. If he gets the job, he'll take one or two assistants with him. In the last year, Joe Judge left, took a couple of assistants. Brian Flores, 2 years ago, left, took a couple of assistants. Josh McDaniels is going to take that Philadelphia job, leaves, takes a couple of assistants. Dante Scarnecchi is already retired. They don't have a quarterback. It's one of the weakest rosters. They have lost all their top assistants. And what if Belichick waited about two more weeks for all the top candidates to be gone and announced his retirement from the Patriots? Colin, he would screw over Robert Kraft. Yes. Let's go back to Belichick as a grudge holder. Who forced him to trade Jimmy Garoppolo? If he is not forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, then the Patriots don't embarrass themselves this year. Then Belichick doesn't continually get mocked this year. Don't think Belichick wanted to win this divorce? Oh, it hurts. Folks, you don't think he has an ego? Brady has not only won this divorce, it makes Belichick look stupid. He can't draft receivers. He couldn't figure out Tom. One time, Robert Kraft has gotten involved in football stuff. Once. Belichick sitting there thinking, what, you don't trust me?
What do you make of that, Bert?
Wow. I mean, I love Colin. I wish I was as creative a thinker as he is, because that was pretty creative. Did Joe Judge bring assistance directly from here? I know he had Patrick Graham with him.
I think it was
Jerry Shaplinski, but those guys were coming from Miami.
Right, Shaplinski was in Miami, correct?
Right. Like, so I
that's
don't
what
know.
You're going to get caught up Flores on. This did. Couple of assistants. You're going to get caught up on a couple of assistants.
I know.
Let's not
I know.
Get now caught up on weed. Those nitty gritty details, and let's focus on the whopper there, which is Bill Belichick could retire in 2 weeks and quit the Patriots in 2 weeks.
To spite them. I don't think so. I mean, I think part of the reason why Josh would look at leaving and Mayo would seriously look at the idea of different head coaching jobs is twofold. Number one, I think it's they know that it may take a couple of years to rebuild this, so their stock might not be quite as hot in 2022 or 2023. And number two, I think they know Bill's going to stick around for a while. At least that's what I've heard. So, I mean, I'm not trying to shoot down Colin's theory here, but like, I know.
Why not? If you think it's a bogus theory, say it's a bogus theory.
There's perception. There's perception out there, at least, that Bill is not on the doorstep of the end. And I know a lot of people feel like Bill was, and Zoe, I'm sure you heard this over the years, like Bill was sort of turned off by the way Parcells left a couple of places that he left and like sort of resolved with himself, that's not going to be me. Now, again, I don't know if he feels that way right now after the year that they had. Maybe things have changed. But I do think that he would like to have it as part of his legacy that he leaves the place in pretty decent shape.
Yeah, and you know, the Dallas stuff, you know, especially Miami down there, Jeff Ireland stuff, it's sort of like a hit and run. Yeah.
Wait, hold on, pause. When did he resolve to do that for himself? Because he left New York by writing it on a cocktail napkin. Right. You know,
that's true. That's true. But
you know,
that was because he felt like, well, I guess it fits them, because the reason he did that in New York is because he felt like he got screwed, right?
He got backdoored. So, he felt like he got backdoored there.
Right. Like, so, I mean, I guess if you're really into the idea that he feels like he got hosed by having to trade Garoppolo, which it would have been hard to hold on to Garoppolo for that long, given how long Brady wound up playing here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if he really thought he got hosed, maybe he would. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not saying he's against vengeance. We know he's not against vengeance because we've seen it time and time again. So.
Yeah, but he also likes winning, and he knew that if Tom's the guy, Tom's going to win, and that's going to get me quicker to the right. Win to chase Shula also.
Yeah.
So see, Bill's a smart football guy. Like, he knew he couldn't keep both, and he knew Tom outlasted that. He was waiting for Tom, I think, that first half of the year to fall on his face, and he didn't. Tom carried that team.
Yeah,
and
Bill
knew, like, oh, crap, we got to trade Jimmy. Can't keep them both.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that – I don't think Bill wants to go out like this. Do you?
No.
I would not fear him going out. I would fear him going out of New England and going somewhere else.
Right, which is – I mean, like, obviously teams would line. I mean, there are teams that would fire their coach tomorrow if they could get him, right? So,
yes.
Like, getting a job would not be a problem for him. But I don't know, man. Like, that's sort of interesting. Again, like, it's impossible to climb into his head. You know, I think any of us that have tried to over the last, you know, 20 years, it's not the best way to do your job when we're in these positions. But I'd be surprised. I don't know. I'd just be surprised if he walked away based on where the team is right now.
Okay, we've got a question for Burt Breer that we will address after these headlines. It's very simple. There are two head coaching vacancies right now that are left. Philadelphia and Houston both technically are open.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.